Hello, this is Tim with TacticsTime.com, and today I have a very special guest, John Herron. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Tim. Welcome to you.
Thanks. Thanks for being here today. Would you like to take a minute and introduce yourself to everybody?
Sure. My name is John Herron. I've been teaching chess to children for about 10 years. I've just recently put out a book with all the lessons I teach called Total Chess. I'm about a Class A, B chess player, although I haven't played tournaments in quite a while. I've been concentrating mostly on teaching chess to children.
Well, cool. Would you like to say a little bit more about your book? What kind of stuff's in it?
Okay. The subtitle is called Learn, Teach, and Play, the Easy 1-2-3 Way. And as I started teaching chess about 10 years ago, I was trying to find a way to teach things to kids that was quick and easy and fun. So I hit upon this 1-2-3 approach, and I've kind of categorized everything in chess into this 1-2-3 concept. For example, the chess game naturally falls into three phases, the opening, mid-game, and end-game. And I've done this for all aspects of chess, for strategies, for tactics, for finding checkmates, virtually everything.
That's cool. I saw one of the videos you did on YouTube, and I really liked how you kind of broke the tactic down where you had it, okay, here's the, like, mate in one, for example, and then...
That's for beginners.
Right, then you took it back a step, and then... You know, you set up the move that sets up the move, and then...
Yep. Mate in two is for intermediate-level players, right? Yep.
Right, and then you had the full three-move combination. I really liked that. I thought that was a good way to
three
do things.
Three or more. Yep, three or more moves than I think of as for the advanced-level players. And that kind of gives them the pattern and shows them how the pattern builds up so they can look for it and find it.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was great. Great idea. Can I talk a little bit more about some of your philosophies regarding tactics?
Well, tactics now, I have them grouped into related groups of three also.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have 8 groups of three for a total of 24 tactics in chess. So I don't know if people have actually tried to categorize tactics in this way before. I can give you the names of the 8 groups,
sure.
A little bit maybe about each one.
Mm-hmm.
Direct tactics, and by the way, they all start with the letter D. So direct tactics are the simplest tactics, things like a single threat or tying down a piece and piling on with other attackers. Or also an X-ray tactic where a piece looks through another piece to attack or defend. Dynamic tactics are probably the most familiar to most chess players, things like forks, pins, and skewers. Those are the three dynamic tactics. Then there are 3 discovered tactics and 3 double tactics, discovered attack, check, and threat, and double attack, check, and threat. And those are probably pretty self-explanatory to chess players. I have 3 decoy tactics, and the purpose of a decoy tactic is to get a piece onto a specific square. And those are the trap tactic, a lure tactic, and interference tactic. Then I have 3 deflection tactics, where the purpose is to get a piece off of a square. And those tactics are clearance tactic, undermine, and overload. Then I have 3 defensive tactics called breakout, counter tactic, and desperado, which, again, those should all be pretty self-explanatory to chess players. And the final group is called delay tactics, and they all come from the German word Zug. And I've actually introduced a new tactic here called Nachzugler, which is like a latecomer or a delayed tactic where after one player does a tactic, it leaves the position ripe for the other player to do a comeback or follow-up tactic.
Hmm.
And then the other 2 tactics after that are Zwischenzug and Zugzwang, which... most people call it Zugzwang, and most chess players know those 2 tactics also. So that's all the tactics categorized into related groups. It makes it a little bit easier to think about them, to learn them, and to find them in chess positions.
So the one that you said you introduced. Could you explain that one a little bit better?
Yeah. It's called Nachzuckler, and again,
mm-hmm.
it has the German word Zug, Z-U-G, in there, which
mm-hmm.
means to tug or to pull.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I don't speak German, but I looked this word up to find a word that had the Zug in it that fit what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a tactic done by one player. He just sees the tactic and doesn't look deep enough to see that after he does his tactic, it leaves the position open for the other player to do a counter tactic, and oftentimes
okay.
a better counter tactic. You know, especially in speed games, a lot of players will see a tactic and they'll just immediately play it. It looks like a good tactic. And they
right.
don't look a little deeper to see that, oh, if I do this tactic, I'm leaving my king and queen in position for a skewer, let's say.
Okay, so maybe like the Legale's mate trap where the guy takes the pawn with the knight, then black thinks, oh, I can win the queen with the bishop, but then in reality he thinks that's his tactic, but then white has a better tactic, which is the checkmate if he falls for that. Would
right,
that be an
right.
example?
Yep, or sometimes someone will try and capture a pawn with their queen and end up getting the queen trapped, although that's more of a trap tactic than the Nachzuckler tactic.
Mm-hmm. And how about the defensive tactics? Because I actually had someone send me an email once, you know, what are some examples of defensive tactics? And, you know, I didn't really have a good answer for him. What do you think about
yep,
that topic?
I have three, and I define a defensive tactic as escaping from one of the opponent's tactics. And the three are a breakout, and that's where you escape from a tactic by using a forcing move.
Mm-hmm.
And I have three forcing moves because everything comes in threes in my philosophy of chess.
Mm-hmm.
Forcing moves are captures, checks, and threats. So you use one of those three ways to escape from a tactic by doing a capture, a check, or a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I call that a breakout. And then, of course, a counter tactic would be where you escape from a tactic by using another tactic. So if you have a piece that's pinned, for example, and is threatened to be lost, maybe you can pin the piece that is pinning you, and then that piece cannot capture your pinned piece. That's an example of a counter tactic. So it's using another tactic to escape from a tactic.
Hmm.
And then desperado, I think most players know when you have a piece that's going lost, you try to get as much for it as you possibly can so you don't lose it for nothing.
Right.
That's a desperado tactic. And sometimes a desperado, you just end up losing the minimal amount. But there are many times when you can use a desperado in other situations to actually win material.
Yeah, when you say that, I think of I've seen positions where maybe white's king is stalemated, but he's down material, and then he'll have his rook come out and chase the black king all over the board, and the black king can never
yeah.
capture it. Would that be a desperado, or is that something
No,
different?
I don't look at it as that. I look at that as that's a way to make a draw. I have a whole chapter in the book or a whole section
okay.
about making a draw, and
right.
one way to make a draw is to force a stalemate.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I look at that a little bit different. Desperado is a piece that's going to be lost, and you get as much for it as you can. Like if you have a bishop
okay.
trapped, you're going
right.
to try and steal at least a pawn for it.
Okay,
but
right.
there are times when a desperado can end up winning material for you. So if you look deep enough in the situation, it depends on the position, of course. It doesn't always work that way.
Right. I understand what you're saying now. And, you know, like maybe your knight's trapped on A8 or something. So.
Uh-huh. So
you know, you do
at least get a pawn for it before you
right.
lose it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. And you said you teach, you give lessons as well?
Yeah, I teach after-school classes right now. I have taught actual in-school classes during the school day in one school district. I'm not doing that currently, though. I've done summer camps for kids. I've hosted lots of tournaments. I've even done some simultaneous exhibitions to get kids interested in chess, almost all geared toward kids. I think that's the future of chess. If you get the kids interested, you know, when they grow up, maybe they'll continue to be interested in chess, and they'll spread the word and spread the knowledge about chess and what a great game it is.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. And, you know, I get people coming to my website looking for information on how to teach kids, and you know, I've never done that myself. I mean, I'm actually kind of at the opposite, where I'm interested mostly in helping adults that are stuck, you know, to improve, because I see that so much playing in adult tournaments. So so I think that's great, and it sounds like your book would be a great resource for them to use. If someone wanted to get a hold of that, what's the best way to do that?
Well, they can go to my website, which is hairballpublishing.web.officelive.com. If you just search for the title of my book, though, Total Chess, and my name, John Herron, you'll find that in a web search, and that'll bring you to my website. It's probably the easiest way.
Okay, and it's H-E-R-R-O-N.
Right. I'm trying to get it stocked in, with some of the chess vendors and maybe some of the online booksellers. It's kind of a slow process. I'm a self-publisher, so I don't quite have the name recognition that some of the big publishing houses have. So it takes a little bit of time to get things promoted and to get some exposure.
Sure.
This podcast hopefully will help.
Sure.
And the book contains everything someone needs to teach a chess class, to learn chess themselves, even if they don't know anything about chess to start. And there's enough material in here to challenge kids from elementary school all the way up through high school.
Well, great. That sounds awesome, John. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I also have another book. It's called Totally Puzzled, which is also self-published by me. It contains nearly 1,000 puzzles and brain teasers.
Mm-hmm.
And let me, if we're nearly finished, let me leave you with a puzzle, a chess puzzle. There's a section on game puzzles in my puzzle book. And the chess puzzle would be this. If you set up all the white pieces for a new game, but none of the black pieces, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the puzzle is, where can you put the black king so that white can checkmate black in 3 moves?
Okay, so let me just hear that one more time. So you set up all the white pieces.
Set up all the white pieces for a new game,
mm-hmm.
but none of the black pieces. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have an open board with no black pieces, but all the white pieces are set up. Now,
right.
You have to put the black king somewhere on the board. That's the puzzle, is to trick find where. Where can you put the black king so that white can mate black in 3 moves?
Okay.
And as far as I know, there's only one square where it will work.
But
there's a lot of open territory.
Black gets to move his king after white's move. Or
right.
Not.
It's a mate in 3 problem. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a mate in 3 problem, but you got to figure out where is black's king. It's as if black's king is invisible at the start. And you
right.
have to tell me where it is. But, of course, yeah, black makes his move after white makes his move.
Right.
It's just
okay.
a normal chess problem from that point on.
Okay. Huh. Well, I won't be
That's
able to.
That's a cute one.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that. So.
Oh, you'll solve it, yeah. Chess players can all solve it. So, you know, Philidor said that pawns are the soul of chess.
Mm-hmm.
But I say in my book that checkmate is the soul of chess. Because checkmate is always there. It's always present in the game. And it's the ultimate goal of every game. And so to go with my little 1-2-3 sayings, it's very well established that tactics are the heart of chess.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's everyone knows that saying.
Right.
And then I say checkmate is the soul of chess. And then I say pawns are the backbone of chess. They form the structure around which the other pieces move. So that's the way I look at that.
Yeah, well, that certainly makes sense to me. Well, excellent, John. Well, thanks so much for being here today.
No problem. Yeah, I'd like to see more people get interested in chess, especially kids. There are probably 10 kids who are interested in chess for every one parent who knows how to play chess. And there are probably 10 parents who know how to play chess for every one USCF-rated player. So, you know, the USCF is a great organization, but I think they're only reaching about 1 in 100 potential players.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there, you know, because, you know, I have a lot of people tell me, oh, you like chess, and, you know, they know how to play, and their friend plays, and so it's definitely something that a lot of people find interesting, if nothing else.
Yep. I saw a great video on YouTube the other day, too, that had about 30 minutes of chess art set to music that was
wow.
nice to watch.
Huh, very cool.
Yep.
So, all right, Don. Well, thank you again.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.